chandeliers. The wine and dining, the menu is blood, sweat, and tears. Everybody ready, raining duck and fitty, champions are born. Click goes the handbook, run when you hear that sound.
Gonna make it to the finish line. What's up, everybody? This is the KTF Podcast, and I'm your host, Pastor Shannon Williams, where we defend the faith and stand for truth. You know what it is. Like,
that time.
Subscribe, share. Hey, let us know where you're watching from, because this is going to be the most exciting 8 hours of your life for the next 8 hours. I'm just kidding. No, we ain't going to keep you that long, but we're going to talk about some good stuff. And before we get to it, I got to introduce the cohorts here on the KTF Podcast. They've been absent a while, and so we want to welcome them back. We got some applause. We want to welcome
there
back. Welcome back. They've been missing in action, and they were lost. But now they're found.
Amen.
All right. To my left, we got B. Mizzle.
What's up, America? How y'all doing?
And to my right, we've got the wonderful caramel-colored fella, PBJ.
What's happening? What's going on, everybody?
You're bringing that energy today.
Yeah. It's good. It's good stuff.
You are?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. I hear you, man. You know what? This is we're in the KTF Podcast. Just so you know, we have loads of fun. Like, it's jam-up time, talking about God, talking about the things of God, talking about truth and faith. And we love having you here with us. So thank you for joining us. Today is going to be real, raw, and radical. We're going to be talking about, are generational curses real?
Hot topic.
There's a lot of talk about this one. B. Mizzle, what do you think, man? Off the gate, man, there's some heat out here about generational curses.
Well, you know, generational curses has become a curse word. Seems like how dare you talk about that?
We
you
know? Can't say that
I
word.
Know, you know, so it's getting lumped in there with, can Christians have demons and that realm of things.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I'm interested to talk about this. It's gonna be good.
I think it's gonna be an awesome podcast. Yeah. PBJ, you heard any chatter out there about generational curses? What's going on? Are people for it, against it, or they just say we don't know what's going
on? Definitely against it. They're definitely against it. Them generational curses. Show me in the Bible where it
says. Show me in the Bible. Show me in the Bible.
Okay, we're about to. For all of you that are out there, the naysayers, the ones who are like, well, show me in the Bible, pay attention.
We got a Bible.
We're going to show you. We got a Bible. We got scripture. We got proof.
Amen.
And you know what? You're going to have the people out there, and I'm talking to y'all. Look me in my eyes right now. We have evident proof, and if you still want to say that it's not real, then that's on you.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, you know what? Listen, hey, you know what? No hard feelings. Listen, if you don't believe in it, don't believe in it. But you know what? When I've seen what God has done in a lot of people's lives, when I've watched the Holy Spirit do some amazing things, you can't talk me out of it. That's right. You can't back me up in a corner and be like, how dare you? Listen, we're trying to really help people here. Mm-hmm. We ain't trying to cook people and eat them. We're trying to set them free. We're trying to help them through the power of the gospel, the message of the gospel. There's so many tones throughout scripture like this. All right, Jesus came to do what? Set the captives free. Yes. He came to bring deliverance to the captives.
That's right.
There's so many times where he talks about overcoming darkness. How do you think he does that? Mm-hmm. Do you think it's just a cliche word that is just thrown out there? No, he really has the power to set people free.
That's right.
And so so let's dive into it. I think I'd like to take the first stab at it.
Go ahead.
I don't know. I've got a little bit of experience talking about this.
Yeah.
And I have seen in my own life and in ministry, this is the biggest altar calls in the history of church for me.
Yeah.
I've never seen a response the way I have after I preach a message about generational curses. You want to know why? Because people are hurting.
Preaching it.
Yeah, that's people are hurting and they won't help.
Yeah.
They need answers. And so when they hear something from the Word of God, it pricks their heart. It starts to make sense. They understand why Uncle Jimmy and all their cousins and nephews, why they're all alcoholics.
Yes.
They understand. It's not of, oh, well, we've got DNA in our body that says we're supposed to be alcoholics. No.
That's
No, you're last time God didn't give you any DNA that says you're supposed to be a drinker.
Last I checked, we were made in his image. And
that's right.
DNA. That's right.
So
that's right. So if we've got stuff in our family line, it's when you see it come generational, things are broken. Things are not right. And so the message is you can be set free. You can be set free through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why he died on the cross. And so let's jump in. I want to go first, if I can, to Exodus 20. I want to go there to Exodus 20. If you got your Bibles, y'all can check this in. It's in there. All right, so here we go. It says in verse 1, we're going to start there. It says, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Now, he's getting ready to lay out what we call today the Ten Commandments. Right. He's reminded them, I'm God. I brought you out. I'm the one that delivered you out of the house of bondage. So here you go. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God." He's That's talking right. about, I am first in your life.
That's right.
The God of Israel says, I brought you out of Egypt. I brought you out from Pharaoh. I brought you out from slavery. Don't you forget who I am. I'm a jealous God. So after he says, don't have gods before me. Don't make any idol images. Don't bow down and worship or serve them. He makes this statement. He says, I'm a jealous God. And then he says this. This is pertaining to I am a jealous God. "Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation, unto them that hate me." Okay, so there it is right there. This is the first sign right here of a curse generation. Listen, you can call it whatever you want. It says visiting iniquities upon the third and fourth generation. It says this. It says from the fathers upon the children. That's what it says. Fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me.
Okay, let me stop you right there. Let me play a little DA.
Oh, you're good at that.
All right, I am. It says, for those that hate me.
Okay, yeah.
It does not say for a believer.
That's right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Explain that to me.
Okay, well, we'll go one verse more. All right. So those that hate him do what? Break his commands.
Have other idols.
Yes.
Other things before
him. If you serve and worship false gods, if you break my Ten Commandments, he says, listen, I'm a jealous God. I will allow all of the iniquities to visit the children of them that hate me. It says, okay, and then verse 6, this is for all the people right now saying it's not possible. It's not possible to have a curse because I'm a Christian. Okay. "And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and" what?
Keep my commandments. You got to keep them.
So if you don't keep the commandments of God, then you really don't love God.
Come on.
That's what he's saying. Okay, so say, I love God, but I don't keep my commands. I don't keep the commands of God. Then are you really a child of God? Are you really born again? Is there any evidence of that in your life? It's like going and saying, hey, here's my wife. I love my wife. But every night I go to some other woman's house and lay in the bed with her.
Wow.
Well, I said I loved you.
Yeah.
I said I loved you.
Yeah.
Right? No, but my actions are showing I have broken.
Far from me.
I've broken all of that. There is no love in that.
Yeah. Right.
So here it is. So God is saying, here's the fence. You jump the fence of my commands, you're out there by yourself without me.
Right.
Okay, so I want to say this. A curse is a gap between you and God. Anytime there is unrepented sin, anytime something happens and you don't get it under the blood, you know, there's Christian people. I'm going to say this right now, and this is going to blow your mind probably. There are Christian people who are out here who love God. They go to church, and there are sins that they have never repented of.
Oh, I believe
it. Yeah, definitely.
There are sins that they have never repented of.
Yeah.
Can God forgive you of sins that you've never confessed?
No, he cannot.
No, he can't.
He cannot.
You must confess before him.
That's right. The Holy Spirit will tell you those things.
That's right.
You know, a lot of people don't think certain things are sin. Like, let's just take drug abuse, alcohol, because you can buy it at the store. You can, you know, you can do different things, right?
Right.
The Lord showed me that smoking was a sin. Now, it's not a sin to for me to go buy it, but he showed me that. He said, you're hurting your testimony. You're hurting your witness. So I had to stop doing some things.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
It was a sin to me. Now, just because you could go do it doesn't mean that it's right.
That's true. You know that's what true. I mean? Just because man's laws and man's thing says, oh, this is cool, this is okay, doesn't mean it's the best thing for you.
That's right. As you said, there you know, there's sins out there people haven't repented of.
Yeah.
You know what those things are.
Yeah.
The Lord showed them to you. You know, if you're a child of God, he reveals things that keep you away from him.
If you love him, what's the proof of your love for him?
He chastises.
You'll keep my commandments.
That's right.
Yeah.
You will listen to the voice of God. You will obey the voice of God. If you have people who are out here and they are doing their own thing, living their own life, do as thou wilt.
Yeah.
It's a witchcraft. Yeah. That is the motto of the Satanic Church. If you're out here saying, I'm going to do what I want, and you're not out here saying, I want to do what the Father wants me to do.
Yeah.
You're not following in his will. You're not following in his commands. So it's clear right here. Listen, if you break his commands, you're showing you don't love him.
Yeah.
Right? You're actually showing, I hate you.
I think people are scared, really. You know, people are used to being just comfortable with their issues and their problems. They'd rather take medication. They'd rather take drugs in a sense.
Recreational or drugs.
Recreational drugs, pharmaceuticals, stuff like that.
Yeah.
They rather go to the doctor. They rather seek counsel from other people, you know, instead of saying, you know what, maybe this is deeper than that. Maybe this is further than that. You know, your family line may be marked by divorce, poverty, anger, addiction, and other ungodly things, you know. That stuff stems down further and further and further. And if it didn't get healed, say, for instance, you know, I'll be real here. I'll be real with everybody. Y'all can look me up on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you want. I struggled with porn addiction. I did. And my dad.
Come on, help somebody out.
My dad, struggled with it too, and passed that on to me and my brothers. And you know what? We all struggled with it. We all struggled with a lot of marital problems.
Come on.
I struggled with pornography and stuff like that. But the moment I got delivered from it, the moment I got set free from it, now, is it there in the back of my mind saying, hey, the enemy wants to throw that in my face and say, hey, you need to go look at that? And you know what? I have to pray. I have to get down on my face. And I say, you know what? Lord, give me some more strength. Give me some more strength to fight that off. But I was delivered from
it. But there's a spirit. This is what we're talking about. So I had a person tell me one time, they said, hey, I don't believe that the sin of a father can be held accountable by the son. And I said, well, that's right, because every man has to stand for his own sin, right? I said, however, sin opens the door to the demonic.
Amen.
Yeah.
Sin opens the door for supernatural. Listen, okay, so if God's favor and blessing can come on you from being obedient, what happens when you're disobedient?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay? So that means you're not favored anymore. So if you're not favored, then you're living under a curse. There's only two options. You're either blessed or you're cursed. So it's not the sin that's being laid upon. It's the demon that the door was open to. Yeah. And so now he says, hey, I got something I'm going to work on in this family. It's a familiar spirit. The familiar spirit now, the reason why they call it familiar is because it knows that family.
Yes.
It goes down that line. And that familiar, you can have alcoholism as a familiar spirit. You can have lust as a familiar spirit. You can have abuse as a familiar spirit. You could have, you wonder why all these women in one family, they all end up getting attacked, abused, raped, all these. It's like, how do these women end up in these situations? Because the same spirits that have attacked them are in other people, and they are driving these people to other people. They know what's going on. Yeah. So it's a repeat. Here's how you know if there's a generational curse or not. The same stuff keeps happening to different people in your family.
Yes.
And it's not coincidental. It's like, wow, my family works really hard, and we stay in poverty. We can't get out of this poverty.
That's exactly
my great-great-grandma lived in the trailer down the road, and my dad lived in the trailer. And we can't we can't break out of this cycle, right? We yeah. seem to never be able to buy property or pass it down.
I thought about this.
There's a root there somewhere.
If you were born poor, that means your family before you was poor. Right?
That's right. Mm,
come on.
You know, you inherit things.
That's true.
Right? The Bible says, Proverbs 13:22 says, a wise man leaves an inheritance to his children's children.
Yeah.
You can leave good or bad to your kids.
That's right.
You know, it ain't just always blessing. We want the generational blessings, but we don't want to hear about the generational curse.
Come on. Say that again. You
know, say that again
for the people in the back.
That, you know, that's, I don't believe that. Well, I don't believe sugar's bad. Okay, does that work? I don't believe fried foods are bad.
I can eat sugar every day.
I could go do what I want to
do. Eventually, it's going to catch up with you, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's repercussions. You know, speaking of testimonies, I wanted to share mine on this because my family, I traced it back because the Lord was showing me some things on this, you know, a while back. But my great-great-grandfather brought Mormonism to South Georgia.
Wow.
The land that we own still has the Utah Cemetery on it called Little Utah.
Okay.
That's where they brought the church. They brought the missionaries came, and they founded the Mormonism church in that part of the Georgia. Isham Mizell was his name.
Okay.
That was my great-great-grandfather.
All right.
And so all through these generations, his son got crippled. I mean, there were things going on, and I never knew any of this till I came here. You know, I never knew that anything could be passed down.
Sure.
But looking back on it, I see the struggles in all my family, you know, that they've had until I finally had to renounce and break this off. Because
come on.
You don't want to think that anything's wrong with your grandpa.
That's right.
Grandpa hung the moon. You know, great grandpa was salt of the earth.
Do you think that's a resistance from a lot of people?
I believe so.
They don't want to say, well, my family members were great. They were wonderful. They were awesome. Listen, I have no doubt that you've got great family members and great relatives in your past, but were they perfect?
No.
Did they do everything perfect? Did they ever make mistakes? Did they break God's covenant or God's laws? There are people in my family history I don't even know. I never talked to them. To the third and fourth generation, you're talking about 30 people in my ancestry behind me that if they open a door to idolatry, sin, any broken commandments, that maybe there was a spirit that got attached.
That's where
it comes down that line and it says, now I have free ability to attack this family.
Exactly.
It doesn't mean everybody in your family's under a curse.
Exactly. That's the verbiage.
It doesn't mean that you're under a curse that you have to do it, but now that demon has access to attack you and vex you. That's what we're saying.
Exactly.
And when we explain this to people, they all agree. They say, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree with that. I understand that.
I think people get hung up on the word, you know, generational curse. Okay, well, let's just call it a family stronghold.
Come on, that's right.
A familiar spirit. Familiar spirits mentioned 18 times in the Bible.
That's right. That's right.
You know, so this.
So are they?
These demons been around since forever. You know?
Well, we know they were around in Jesus' day because when Jesus showed up, they had to get out.
Yeah.
Well, who's say they wasn't around when the fall of man.
I agree. They've been around for a long time. There's a lot of idolatry.
Jesus just exposed them, I believe.
That's right.
You know, I think
he was the first obedient son of God. Therefore, he was the one that had authority. Yeah. They were there before he showed up.
The Bible says he came to heal them and ended up casting out demons. You know,
that's right.
These people were afflicted and they didn't know what it was. They just thought it was leprosy or malaria. I don't know what the diseases they had. But.
Do you remember the story in the Bible when the man was born blind?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what, the Jews, they believe in generational curses or generational strongholds. I don't care if you call it generational hangups. I don't care what you call it. Just it's a thing. They said this. They said, who sinned, him or his father and mother? Who sinned?
First to blame. They went straight to them.
Yeah, they wanted to say, was this something that the father did that opened the door for the son to be born?
Yeah, why would they even bring that up?
Why would they even say that? That's right. That's exactly right. So they're saying, hey, you know what? There are times, and it is biblical, and it is in there, that the curse or the hang-up or the thing opens the door for a demon, that's right, a demon, mm-hmm. to come and vex yes. a person. Now, I want to say this because it's very important. I believe this message resonates with a lot of Christian people because they suffer from something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They've repented of sin, right? They've called on Jesus. They've went to an altar. They've prayed. They've crucified their flesh, right? They've submitted to God, and yet they still battle with something. Let's just take lust or pornography. Yeah. They battle with migraine headaches. Yeah. That you ever seen people, they have migraine headaches like every other week or every other, you know, and it's like it cripples their life. It plagues them. Like there was a story one time of a lady who every time something started to happen, like she would go on vacation with her family, she would get a migraine headache every time. Anytime they would go to have something fun, she would come down with a migraine. All the family, they were getting packed up, getting ready to go out. They'd all turn around, have to go back home. It ruined everything. It brought so much destruction. So when people say, hey, you know what? I've done everything I know to do, but something still is tormenting me and vexing me. What if that was a spirit that's vexing you? Mm-hmm. What if that was the result of something generational?
Well,
and all you got to do is say this, in the name of Jesus, I break every curse in my life over my family 10 generations back and 10 generations forward. I plead the blood of Jesus over myself, and I break every stronghold in Jesus' name. You repent and forgive and release that, and boom.
What do you got to lose?
What does it hurt?
That's what I think.
Yeah. If you're mad at a church or mad at a pastor or mad at somebody because they're trying to get people set free and all you can do is sit there and just argue, well, I don't believe it. I just don't believe it. I don't believe it. Well, I've seen it with my own eyes. I've watched people get set free. Truly, their countenance. I watched a young girl just this past Sunday, literally her countenance changed.
Yeah. I watched it too. And it was like night and day. I mean, it's like
you just saw the heaviness.
The heaviness. And then when she woke up, it's just like a new birth. I mean, it's just bright. And
what was part of the problem? Part of the problem was she thought about suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what?
Spirit of death.
Guess what? Her mother had the same thing when she was the same age. So, is that coincidence?
No.
We're just going to throw it all away as coincidence. Write it off. Coincidence. Nothing makes sense anymore. I'm telling you, the same spirit that vexed the mama is vexing that daughter.
Yeah.
And so we're thankful that there is power in the blood.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm thankful that the power of the gospel is here to set us free, not just to forgive us of past sin, but even to break the strongholds and the demonic bondages that come with it.
Amen.
All right. I know y'all got some stuff. Let us hear it.
You want to go?
I had Proverbs 26:2. As the birds wander and the swallow by flying, so the curse without a cause shall not come.
I like that.
There is, behind every curse,
there's a cause.
Or stronghold, or whatever word you want to put in there, we'll leave it blank. There's a reason behind it.
That's right.
And I think the two number one reasons is ignorance of God's word.
Yes.
And sin.
Yes.
Undealt with sin, like you talked about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those two things allow, you know, God's just not going to put a curse on. God put curses on you, on those people who did not obey him.
Yeah. Well, so this is what God does. This is what a curse is. A curse is God takes a step back.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to worship those gods? Okay. Oh, you're going to bow down before these false idols? Okay, I'm going to take a step back. Whenever God says, I'm going to take that step back, it creates this space. All right, so now there's a gap.
Yeah.
What do you think fills that gap?
Yeah.
The enemy. The enemy's coming in that gap, and he's going to begin to work in that gap because what happened? Samson fell under a curse. Why did he fall under a curse? Because God removed his spirit from him.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says that he made a vow before God. I'm writing a book about generational curses and curses and Jesus breaking the curse. This is one of the stories in it that I'm talking about. He made a vow. He had a Nazarite vow. So his vow got broken. Mm-hmm. He didn't even cut his own hair. Delilah cut his hair. And because he made a vow to God to never do that, when he did that, that's one of the ways that a curse can come upon you, is when you make a vow to God and then it's broken.
Yeah.
So that's one of the ways. I know a lot of people, they don't even know that, but that is very biblical. So he got his hair cut. He revealed his secret, cut his hair, and he got up. The Philistines are coming, Samson. He got up and he shook himself. And then he got nervous because he realized the Spirit of God had left him. He didn't even know the Spirit of God left him. There's a lot of people,
a lot of churches,
the Spirit of God, and even churches, the Spirit of God's left them, and there's this gap, and they wonder why there's all this mess in the middle right here. And it's simply a place for the enemy to take advantage of. Now, repentance, renouncing of false idolatry, false gods, witchcraft, and all that, God shows right back up, says, boom, here I am. I'm here for you. I'm there. And you know, if you're a Christian, let's say someone's far from God, they get saved, but they're sick in their body.
Right.
Have you seen people get saved and they're still sick in their body?
Yes.
Yes.
So that's possible.
Yes. Yes.
So what you're saying is people can get saved and they can still have sickness in their body, but they can't have anything else that's still attached to them from a past generation.
Yeah.
So what do you got to do to get rid of the sickness? Lay hands on them.
Yeah.
Lay hands on the sick and they shall what?
Recover.
Recover.
Yes.
Right? Mark 16. So that's part of it. So what do you got to do to break the curse? Maybe the curse that's actually been coming down the family line. Mm-hmm. You got to stand in the name of Jesus and break the curse.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So there's another action that has to be taken, but somebody's got to take the step of faith to do it. I realized this years ago when the Lord showed me that you can't pray a curse away.
Hmm.
You have to break. You have to break a curse. It's like having chains here. And I say, I'm going to pray, and I pray these chains fall off my arms. Well, you got handcuffs on, boss. They're not just going to fall off.
Yeah.
Well, then I'm going to get that tool in here and cut this. Okay, now the chains are gone.
That's what that is. You have to do that. But you don't have to keep doing that, right?
No.
You don't have to. Right. I got to go back this week, get curses broken again, you know.
See,
that's where people think they got to live. I got to live at the church.
Okay, you don't need deliverance from demons every week.
That's right. Come on.
You don't need break generational curses yes, it's time for my yearly generational curses to be broken. You know, you don't set an appointment up like an oil change. You know, I got to go in and get my maintenance. No, live clean, live healthy, live right, and you don't have to have that. You can be favored and blessed by God. God can pour out his favor in you, and you don't have to walk under a curse. But let me tell you, if you bring calls, a curse will come.
That's right. Let me share you with this one. You remember Naaman.
Yeah.
Elisha said, go dip in the river seven times and be
Elijah.
Clear. Elijah. And he went and did it, right? And Naaman wanted to pay Elijah. And Elijah said, no, I don't want no money. But his servant Gehazi went and tracked him down. Remember this?
Yeah.
And he said, my master wants some money. So he paid him some silver and some clothes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So he got back to Elijah and said, where have you been? He said, what do you mean where I've been? I ain't been nowhere.
Yeah.
He said, the Spirit of the Lord told me what you did. Mm. And said, now the leprosy that's on Naaman is going to be on your descendants forever. Wait a minute. Gehazi, Elijah's a man of God, right? I'm sure his assistant was too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait a minute. That can't happen. Mm. How can a believer be cursed with leprosy forever, his descendant says?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Well, okay, so the subject of blessings and curses comes up in the Bible, listen to this, 633 times. It's not even a once or twice situation.
Yeah.
It's 633 times it comes up.
Right.
So there's being blessed and then there's being cursed.
Yeah.
Have you heard the term Ichabod?
Mm, yes.
The term Ichabod is when God has left something.
Yeah.
The curse is when God has abandoned something. It's no longer him. It's no longer his spirit. Okay. So I want to bring this up about the Pergamos church.
Okay.
If there's no such thing as curses, then what is the doctrine of Balaam in Revelation chapter 2 of the Pergamos church? What is that? Because he says, there are those among you that have the doctrine of Balaam. Mm-hmm. What did Balaam do? Balaam was hired by Balak. the king of Moab to curse the children of Israel, right? He got up three times and he said, I'm going to curse them instead of a curse, then a blessing come out. And every time, you know, Balak is so mad at Balaam. He's like, how dare you? I'm paying you to do this. And that's it actually says a lot to me that I believe there's a lot of Balaams. There's a lot of prophet Balaams in the church today. Pay me enough money and I'll speak and I'll pronounce whatever you want me to pronounce. And so he does it three times. But then Balaam says, listen, all right, I understand this. Obviously, God's people are blessed. And God says, you can't curse what's blessed.
Amen.
Right.
So I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you the information on how to curse God's people. Let them go lie with the women who worship false gods. Let them have fornication with them. And eventually they'll worship false gods because women have a lot of influence over men.
Right.
That's just how it works. Yep. So let them sleep with these women, and eventually they'll become idolaters, and then God will have no other choice than to judge them. Mm. That's the doctrine of Balaam. A doctrine is a teaching in a church that right. teaches people. A doctrine of Balaam teaches people how to disobey and how to end up cursed.
Right.
That is the doctrine of Balaam. Mm. Why is that in there? And then I want to throw this. Revelation.
Pergamos, wasn't that the seat of Satan too?
Yes, it's in Satan's seat. That's right. Where Antipas got martyred. Yeah, absolutely. It was a wicked place, man. They had lots of mixture going on. But Revelation chapter 22. Okay, so after the Antichrist shows up, after he rises up in the power of the government, after the beast is created, we've got the signs and the wonders and the deception. We've got the mark of the beast. Then we've got the destruction. We've got the war. We've got the 1,000-year millennial reign after the devil's being locked up. We've got him being released after 1,000 years. He causes all the kings of the earth to rise up against the people of God. God wipes them all out with fire, creates a new heaven, a new earth, new Jerusalem, comes down out of the sky. God creates this whole brand new thing. It is all there. And in Revelation, last chapter of the last book of the Bible, in verse 3, 22:3 says this, and there shall be no more curse.
Yeah.
It's not till the last chapter of the book of the Bible that it says, there shall be no more curse.
Yeah.
That's when it's going to be gone. Let me tell you, snakes still eat the dust of the ground by slithering on their belly.
That's right.
Man still works by the sweat of his brow. Women still have pain and child labor.
Come on.
Roses still have thorns. Mm. I mean, if you don't believe it, just listen to the song. Every rose has its thorn. Why is that? Why does it have a thorn? Because in Genesis 3, rebellion and sin.
Thorns and thistles.
Created thorns and thistles, and even nature rebelled against God. That's why Jesus took on the crown of thorns.
Come on.
That's why it placed it upon his head. They were crowning him. He was king, and now he's not just king of kings and Lord of lords. He's now king over the curse. So now he has the power alone to break the curse. It's in the name of Jesus. It's in the name of Jesus. It's in the name of Jesus. It's in his authority that we have the power to break the curse. That's how that works. Amen. The Bible says in Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Even the law was a curse to man because man can't keep the law. Man's going to fall short. The law is based on man's ability to be able to follow rules.
Well, that's where the people get hung up on there, right there. You know, as well, Jesus did it all. He was hung on a cross, and he did away with the curse.
He redeemed us.
He redeemed us.
Being made a curse for us.
Okay, well, Revelation 22 is after that.
That's yeah. Yes, it does. You know? That's right.
So that's the same mentality as once saved, always saved.
That's right.
Let's just sweep it under the rug. I'm good to go. Jesus did it all for me, and I can live any old way I want to.
Yeah, yeah,
no
you're right. You're right. That's exactly right.
I don't think people they're not choosing to speak life over things. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your seed may live. You know, you got to speak life unto things. You know,
How many generational curses are because somebody did that?
Oh, man. For example, man. We're just never going to make it in life.
Yeah.
Who's we? me and my family, you know, we've always been poor. We've always struggled. You're just making it worse. You're digging it deeper. You know, you got to speak life over things. You know, this may be a struggle right now, but we're going to get out of this. God's going to provide. God's going to make it happen. God's going to redeem us. God's going to set us free. God's going to do whatever he has to help us get through this and provide for us. You know, we may be not wealthy here on earth, but we will be wealthy in heaven. You know, Lord will provide here on earth, you know. So we have to speak life unto things. We have to speak that we're not going to
be addicted. There are word curses, and you can word curse over your kids. You can word curse over a spouse. You can word curse over a grandkid. You're so stupid, you'll never be smart. You'll never amount to anything. You're speaking that in the atmosphere.
That was my life.
You have power.
That's what happened to me, you know?
You know, God showed me this. So remember when Jesus cursed the fig tree?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the next day they came back and
it was withered.
Peter
was
said, "Remember, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." And Jesus said, "Have faith in God. You could say to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast in the sea.' And whatever you do, whatever you have, you could do all things that you pray. When you receive them, you can have them."
Yeah.
You have the power to curse. That's what he was saying. Forget about the mountain thing. All right, let's look
at it for what it is. He told that tree, nobody's ever going to eat fruit from you.
What's happened here? He said, have faith in God. You could do this same things, what he's telling Peter. Mm-hmm. You could curse trees too, brother. When I seen that, I was like, wow, he wasn't just talking about the mountain. He throws that mountain thing in there, but he was saying you have power to curse.
That's right.
You're just like you have... You know, curses are bad things. Blessings are good things. You could do either one with your mouth.
That's right. Well,
you know, look at
that's
that.
True because the disciples, even the disciples were operating in the wrong spirit.
Yeah.
You remember when James and John, they said, "Can we call down fire from heaven to go burn these sinners up?" And Jesus said, "Don't you know what spirit that you're, do you even know what spirit you're in? You're not in my spirit. So whose spirit are they in?"
You're right.
Who were they? Who was actually speaking at that time? My God. I mean, this is some strong stuff. This is real stuff. You know, Deuteronomy 28 is infamous about the blessings, right? They wrote songs about it. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed when I come and when I go, right? So they wrote that. It's in there, right? But people read all the way down to verse 14, but they don't read the next one, verse 15. So if you listen to the voice of God, obey his commandments, he says you'll walk in blessings. Listen to this. But it shall come to pass that if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe all of his commands and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee.
Mm. Yeah, everyone stop after 14. We carve that out.
Is God the same God?
Yes, he is.
Is God the same God?
Yeah.
The Bible says he's the same what?
Yesterday, today, and forever. That's right.
So if God doesn't change, if this is him, do you think that breaking God's commands brings a blessing now? Mm. Just because Jesus came and died?
No.
The commands of... Okay. The commands of God are not bad. Don't worship other gods. Yep, that's a good thing. Yep. Don't make any graven image or bow down to them. Yep, that's a good one. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Yep, that's a good one. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. That's a good one. Honor your father and mother. Still good. Don't lie. Still good. Don't steal. Good. Don't kill. Yeah. Good. Don't covet thy neighbor's stuff or you know, that's good. All of these are good.
Yeah.
Right? Following them is still good. Yeah. Oh, but we don't believe in the Old Testament stuff. Why not? Jesus came to actually fulfill the law.
That's right.
He came to fulfill it.
Thank God he did, because we couldn't.
Yeah. I know. Exactly. All right. Man, I tell you what, I really feel like...
There's so much more on this.
Yeah, man, I could go for hours and hours and hours, technically. Yeah. Because this subject, it means a lot to me because I personally got the Holy Spirit spoke to me about some idolatry in my family line. And the only way I knew about it was because he told me. Mm-hmm. So when I started inquiring about it, I found out about it. Why did God want me to find that out so I could actually do something about it? I could actually go and break the curses that was upon. I want my generation. I want my family. I want my grandkids, my great grandkids. I want my whole family line to be blessed. Amen. But if there's something broken or missing, something's wrong.
Yeah.
Right? If you have chronic mental problems running your family, suicide or unusual deaths, if you've got brokenness, pain, abuse, that it happens every generation, look at it for what it is. Female reproductive problems, you can't get pregnant, or miscarriages over and over and over. And it's like it happens to everybody, cousins and everywhere. Listen, look at things for what it really is. Look at it and say, you know what? There is a pattern here. This could be. I never say, hey, you're cursed. This your family's be. Cursed.
Yeah.
I always say this. This could be the result of a curse in your family line. What does it hurt to get it broken?
That's right. Yeah, that's the way I live. Definitely.
So,
and I was thinking about that today. You never say, I went back and played it over my head, and you always said, this might be, or this could be. It's never, thus saith the Lord, this is what's wrong with you and your family, you know?
Right. I want people to recognize it for themselves. Right. I want the light bulb to go off for themselves. When I have someone bring their daughter or their son and they say, they struggle with this, but I struggled with this too. I'm like, that devil's trying to destroy this entire family line, entire family line. I mean, out of all of us in the booth here, how many has seen something come down the family line in your family? Raise your hand.
Yeah, sure.
Everybody in this podcast room in the studio has raised their hand. Yeah. Every one of them. And so it's a real possibility that could happen. Am I saying you're cursed? I'm not saying you're cursed. I'm not the one that determines that. But I can tell you, if there's an area in your life that is not flowing in blessing, someone could have opened a door somewhere in your family, and that could be robbing from you. So I want to do this. I want to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And let's break some curses right now.
Come on.
Listen, if that's you, maybe you're one of those people, man, you say, hey, you know what? I've had problems, female problems. I can't get pregnant. It's a history. I mean, I've seen it over and over again. Somewhere, some down the line, I've heard people share testimonies about family members who'd had multiple abortions, you know, 5, 10 plus abortions in their family line. It's affected. They've invited the spirit to come and attack all the family. And so, listen, if you've got consistent problems in your family line, don't just chalk it up as, so and so, it runs in my family.
And don't
say that.
Don't let pride get in your way either. Yeah. I know a lot of people are really, especially in the South, and they're really family oriented. You know, they love their family. They can't believe anything would ever be wrong in their family.
Right.
You know, don't let that pride of
what if it wasn't your grandma? What if it was a far distant cousin?
Yeah.
Who practiced witchcraft in the house that you inherited?
Yeah.
And you didn't even know it. Nobody knew it.
Yeah.
They did it in the secret, back in a back room somewhere. Mm-hmm. And it's actually brought the spirits in there. Witchcraft is there, and nobody knew it. And you don't even know to repent. How many people went and played with a Ouija board when they were a kid, and they never told anybody? I was spending a night at a friend's house, and somebody brought it out, and we played with it, and I didn't tell nobody. Well, guess what? You still spoke to demons. Yeah. And that's still a sin. I'm sorry. And you may say, well, I thought it was a joke and I thought it was funny. The devils don't think it's funny and God don't think it's funny.
That's right.
No way. I remember playing with them things and yeah. I remember throwing one in the fire and that thing blowing up. Boom. Like a bomb went off.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
I didn't even know. I mean, I just knew it wasn't right. I wasn't walking with the Lord at the time, you know, but that's something. Thank God that he had his hand on me. He's like, you know, this ain't right. You know, shouldn't be dealing with this.
Well, see, I think, you know, generational curses and deliverance go hand in hand. And the same people that are like, demons can't have demons vex them. They're the same people that say, you can't have a generational curse. They're the exact same people.
Same camp.
That's exactly the same folks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they get real mean and nasty about it too, which I don't understand. Like, you believe what you want to believe, but if you want to be like them cessationists, man, just keep your anger to yourself. Cause I don't want it. Don't pass that off on me. Listen, the same, if you've got demons and you're ready to get free, you can get help. But if you don't, you like your demons, keep them. Just keep them, man. Just hold on to every demon you got and sleep with them every night. Carry them around in your pocket every day and just try your best. Just live with it, because that's all I can say. But I've seen the true power of God. I've seen delivered power of God. See, people get involved in stuff, and this is what I've always had a conversation. People say, well, Christian people can't be cursed. They can't blah, blah, blah. And I was like, have you ever met people that go to church who don't live right and don't serve God, and they happen to just go to church? Just because they carry a Bible doesn't mean they haven't broken God's laws and God's commands.
Yeah.
He's like, I said, out of all the people that go to my church, just say my church, not even your church, or we're not putting anything. Just how many out of the hundreds of people that show up are actually doing God's will every single week of their life? Are 99% of them saved and going to heaven? 75% of them? 80? Half of? I don't know. I don't know how many, but I can tell you there's many people in the church that are not living for the Lord.
Yeah.
They go to church. That doesn't mean they serve the Lord and they are obeying his commands. So that's the problem here. That's the problem.
I cannot deny what I've experienced.
Facts.
Right.
You know, I cannot deny the experience of deliverance that I went through. I cannot deny the experience of breaking these curses off my family line. I've seen it. I've seen my family get better.
Yeah.
I've seen the blessings flow instead of the curses, you know, and I can't deny that. You could sit there and say, oh, it's not real. I don't believe it. Well, you know, I can't. You know,
enjoy.
I'm sorry. You can keep them, you know.
Yeah, that's
right. What's it going to hurt? That's what my advice. What's it going to hurt to give, you know, to break these curses off of you?
I got a theory.
What's that?
Do it. Y'all don't want to hear it.
Come on.
No. No, y'all gonna be mad. You gonna get so mad. You can say the people that fight against deliverance ministry
probably need it.
Probably need it more than anybody else. There's stuff in their life that is fighting against the supernatural because they don't want to be. They don't want them to be free.
Mm.
I think a lot of pride there. That they're afraid to be
pride.
Wrong. Afraid to be wrong.
Somebody wrote that down.
Mm.
Afraid to be wrong.
That's a good point too. That's a good point.
They'd have to admit
that somebody in their family was wrong.
That's exactly what I said. Swallow that pride.
I don't have a problem in the world if they say, listen, if you admit that somebody in your family did something wrong, but it'll bring health and healing to everybody from here on out.
Yes.
Let's lay it all out on the table. Let's be honest with ourselves and honest with God, because that's when God can move. God can't work in deception.
Get it out.
Confess it. Get it out before God. And repent, forgive, renounce, and break curses in the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Amen. Father, I just come before you in the name of Jesus. If there's somebody out there right now that needs you, they've struggled with something, they need deliverance from something, I just speak right now over them that the power of the gospel has come to save the lost, set the captive free, and deliver them in the name of Jesus. So we praise you, God, that you're able, you're powerful, and you're awesome. So I just come against all curses right now, and I break every generational curse right now of any person who is watching and receiving this now. And we believe this truth is going to impact them now, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, they see and feel the difference. God, I break every demonic stronghold, every evil word, every word curse. I sever every soul tie in the name of Jesus. And I command every spirit, every familiar spirit to be released from off their family line.
Yes.
And now that that's happened, Father, in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, I now pronounce blessings over them.
Yes.
No curses, but blessings.
Yes.
By your spirit and by your hand. In Jesus' name. Amen. We pray that you have been blessed, truly, not cursed, but blessed. by this podcast today. Amen. We thank you so much for taking the time to be with us on this evening. We bless you, and we thank you for being here. Remember to keep the faith all the way to the finish line.